It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanEat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13. As a reminder that today's show is sponsored by MyBookieAG, your hookup for all of your sports betting needs. Go to MyBookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get a bonus on top of your first deposit.
It's Thursday, and we're recapping the Miami Heat's loss to the Houston Rockets last night. We'll answer your Twitter questions and get to our spotlight players later on. It's a strong effort that falls short, unfortunately, David. The Heat now have lost five straight games. Look, it was a strong effort. The Heat, without Kelly Olynyk, without Wayne Ellington, two of their best three-point shooters, but they still managed to shoot 40.6% on 32 three-pointers in the game. Houston, in comparison, they shot 38.7% on 31 attempts. So they basically matched Houston somehow in three-point shooting. Now, Houston, of course, they were also shorthanded, missing a few of their own players. Also, they were playing on the second night of a back-to-back, so maybe some tired legs there. But for the Heat, look, Josh Richardson, Goran Dragic each scored 30 points. But James Harden, he hung 41 on him. And Chris Paul had a nice, tidy 24 points. So the Heat just couldn't generate much offense outside of Dragic and Richardson.
Yeah, I think Harden in particular was just particularly dominant. I saw some tweets, negatively reflecting the fact that he draws a lot of fouls. He did shoot, I want to say, 12 free throws into the game. Yeah, 10 of 12 from the line. That's a lot. He obviously leads the league in free throw attempts, but I mean, the reality is he's just dominant. He can do a lot aside from just getting to the line. Part of that is the fact that he's so strong. He has such an incredibly good handle. He knows how to draw contact, but he's also an incredible shooter, and he has that step back down to a methodical science. He's deadly at it. Miami had no answer. They had a number of really nice efforts by a number of players, including Richardson, Justice Winslow, and others. They all tried their hand at limiting what Harden could do. It didn't seem to matter, obviously, with 41 points. He was the dominant aspect of the game, and Miami just didn't have an answer. Maybe they could have gotten a couple buckets. To be honest with you, we've talked a number of times about how important Wayne Ellington has become for this team. So the fact that Miami was able to have such a strong offensive showing despite Ellington's absence really speaks volumes as to how well prepared they were for this team. But it just fell short. Maybe with Ellington in there to knock down a couple threes, and maybe Olynyk could have played a couple minutes here and there, provide some production off the bench, it might have made a difference. But Houston looked dominant, and they could have taken advantage of the second night of the back-to-back. As you said, they were probably a little tired. They were without Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson, so the two starting forwards for the Rockets, and Miami just still couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, no Eric Gordon either for them, and he's been just right, incredible. Yeah, for them. I mean, he'd be at my vote for sixth man of the year at this point. And there's a reason why James Harden is the leader right now, or the favorite, I should say, for MVP, is because he could do that. And obviously, his scoring gets a lot of attention, but just the way he's able to work a defense. His basketball IQ doesn't get enough attention, I think, in just my opinion, because he worked Miami's defense. He just manipulated it like a puppet master. I mean, just picking up the pick and rolls, getting Goran Dragic and Tyler Johnson involved in pick and rolls whenever he wanted to, understanding that Bam was having a little bit harder of a time defending him on pick and rolls. Him and Chris Paul did the same thing. There was back-to-back series where Chris Paul and James Harden both took advantage of Bam Adebayo in the pick and roll situation, just dribbled right by him.
There was one sequence that really stood out to me. I think it was in the fourth quarter when he was in the corner and Winslow put his hands on him, and he kind of sold the contact a little bit, drew a foul there. And then James Johnson came up to Winslow, kind of recognizing that Winslow was taking this matchup a little personally, and said, "You know what? I'll switch on to Harden." Harden immediately got into that pick and roll, I think, with Capella. Johnson went under the screen, and that was all the room that Harden needed to light up a three-pointer. And you could see Winslow, to his credit, he was really pissed off. One of the few moments I've seen him show emotion on the floor. Like, he felt like he could have done a better job. Maybe he would have gone over the screen, or he would have tried to do something, but he felt like it was personally responsible for giving up that three-pointer, or that Johnson might have given it up. So either way, it's just scary. You know, there's nothing you can do really do about Harden.
And I'm glad you brought that series up, because even before Winslow fouled Harden on the 3-point line, the possession or a couple of possessions before that, James Harden blew right by him on a one-on-one blew right by him. And so maybe he was taking a little bit personally. And so Harden to recognize that Winslow was getting a little emotional about this thing, and then to sell the contact like that, understanding that, you know, Winslow's probably being a little too handsy with him. Just great recognition by Harden. I mean, it's just, you got to tip your hat to him. Just to recap this game a little bit, the Heat were down by 16 points midway through the second quarter. They battled back to take a 73-69 point lead with 7:10 left in the third quarter, and then and kept it close from there. Look, the Heat trailed only by 3 points going into the fourth quarter. It was 83-80 going into that final period. And I tweeted this during the game, that if this it's a close game, but if the Heat have one of their second half scoring droughts where they go 2 or 3 minutes without scoring at all, they are dead in the water. And they did that. They went 2 minutes without scoring between the 3 minute and 46 second mark to the 1 minute and 49 second mark. And during that time, the Rockets expanded their lead from a manageable 5 points to 13 points. And that was it. By the time the Heat were able to get back on the board, I think Goran Dragic scored for them with a minute and 49 seconds left. By then, and it was an ATO by Spoelstra, by the way, it was after a timeout, they were able to score. But by then, you can't come back from 13 points down with less than 2 minutes to go against Houston, because they just continue to pour it on, right? And just by then, it's just too much to make up.
There's only not even a handful of teams. There's probably one or two teams that might be able to make the difference. One of them is Golden State. And I don't know that there's another one. I can't. Boston at full strength, maybe. But to be honest with you, there aren't many. And Miami, again, without two of their top 3-point shooters, even despite the kind of strong performance they got from Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic, both of whom were very, very impressive, just not enough to hang with the team. So, I mean, there are other issues that we'll get to when we answer some of our listener questions. But it's an interesting game because, again, as you pointed out, our fifth straight loss on the eve of the trade deadline kind of has to emphasize now where this team really stands in regards to other teams throughout the league, whether or not they're legitimate contenders and what the next steps are.
Well, we're going to get to your Twitter questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeatNext. But first, a word from mybookie.ag. So we talk about basketball on this show, but you've probably heard that the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. It was really a huge up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy about it. Look, the New England didn't need any more Super Bowls. They've had enough. It was a huge upset. A lot of people lost money after betting on the Patriots. Maybe you were one of those people, in which case I don't feel bad for you at all. But I do have a possible solution, maybe, if you want to make some of that money back. If you weren't using mybookie.ag to place your wagers before, you should be now. It's the best way to make your money back or play with the money that you did win and keep your role alive. It's called playing with house money. You do that at mybookie.ag.
Yeah, I mean, football is over, but, you know, there are still plenty of NBA games every night. Lots of action for you to bet on. You already have an advantage because you're listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, not just our own Locked On Heat, but all the other great podcasts as well. You have more information and you care more about the average fan. So you get to bet the lines and get in on the action right now.
So why MyBookie? MyBookie is the industry-leading online sportsbook, and its players enjoy the fastest payouts in the business when they win. That's a huge plus.
Yeah, you and I can't bet on NBA games because we cover the league. That would be a slight conflict of interest, but that doesn't mean we wouldn't want to.
Look, if I did, I'd use MyBookie, and I that's what I did for my Super Bowl props.
Yeah, we urge all of our listeners to make their way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay without the hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else, to be honest.
Sign up today to score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. That means if you join with $100, you'll get $150 to play with, for instance. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate that offer.
That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA at mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid.
Our spotlight players are coming up later on, but let's go to Twitter to answer some of your questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. You know what? These are all really similar, David. I might just read them all off, and then you and I can maybe just bat it around a little bit, just the general topic.
Sounds good.
So Taylor writes in, was that Tyler Johnson or Hassan Whiteside's last game in a Heat uniform? Ming asks, why is it so hard for the front office and the Heat quote unquote fans to see that we have more. We have to move towards building with Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo, and Justice Winslow. We are always in games but can never win close ones because we don't have a quote-unquote closer. Shouldn't we just trade JJ, Hassan, Dion, TJ? I know it's hard. Marvin asks, less than 24 hours to go until the trade deadline, and it's been silent on the Heat front. Is Riley just convinced this team is a contender despite losing five straight games? Is this an issue of quote-unquote pride, especially after being burned by free agents two off seasons in a row? So, David, here I was thinking that after 2 weeks and a whole season of talking about trades, maybe we could just do a normal game recap. Nope. Every question we got, every hashtag AskLOHeat thing that was sent in was all to do with the trade deadline. I can't blame them. Look, I mean, five straight losses. I don't care if you're losing to the Magic or the Rockets. Five straight losses isn't good. And I understand why Heat fans are a little uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, I think... You know, the trade deadline has become this kind of panacea for fans. Like, they really expect this to be the kind of a focal point to either change how you view your team, whether or not they're, you know, cemented as contenders. It kind of reminds me a little bit of how the Major League Baseball trade deadline is, where there are active buyers and sellers and there's a clear delineation. I think that's how we're starting to view the NBA trade deadline, that if you're going to make a move to shore up your team right now, it's because you see yourself as a legitimate buyer, a contender. And if you're selling your assets or giving them away to other teams, it's because you're planning for a long-term rebuild or for next season or beyond. You know, I still think we should kind of go through these questions, if not individually, kind of just touch on some of the things that everybody asked for. And again, if we didn't mention it before, thank you so much to everybody who submits questions, not just today, but every day. We always appreciate getting that kind of feedback, especially now as the trade deadline is picking up. But throughout the season, you've all been great, and we really appreciate it. As far as Tyler Johnson or Hassan Whiteside's last game, I think it's a pretty well-known fact that both Tyler Johnson and Hassan Whiteside are going to be very difficult to move. We just don't see it. Despite all the rumors, despite all the suggestions that are plenty, we've made a few ourselves. Neither of those two players, I think, moves the needle so significantly that any team is saying, this is going to be what changes us into a legitimate contender. You know, even Cleveland, yeah, with all their defensive woes, don't need Hassan Whiteside in order to beat the Golden State Warriors. That's not going to be the deciding factor. And Tyler Johnson certainly doesn't move the needle, even though there are other teams, like you brought up earlier, New Orleans. The Pelicans could certainly use some scoring punch in the backcourt. Tyler Johnson provides that. He's also a very good defender. I just don't see that he's going to be one of those players that teams are knocking down the door, willing to throw a bunch of assets Miami's way. So, unfortunately, I would predict that both Tyler and Whiteside will be here beyond the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, I've talked myself into that New Orleans situation for Tyler Johnson. I've looked at the numbers. It makes sense. Again, you know, I mentioned this on our big pre-trade deadline preview blow-up podcast that we did earlier this week. You know, they would be able to absorb Tyler Johnson, stay under the luxury tax apron, still have the ability to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins because they traded for him, so they have his rights. So they can go over the cap to bring him back and still not have to pay any luxury tax. And Tyler Johnson fits a major need there. I really want to just call the Pelicans and tell them why it makes so much sense for them, because I think it would be great. And then the Heat could get somebody like Solomon Hill in return, who could be still an overpaid player for them, but it would save the Heat $14 million over the next two seasons. And that could be enough room to bring somebody like Wayne Ellington back, whose contract expires at the end of the year. As far as Whiteside goes, I'm looking at, you and I have been fielding hypothetical Whiteside trades all season. Yeah. You know, recent news out of Washington that they might be trying to move Marcin Gortat. Does a Whiteside for Gortat swap make sense, in which, you know, the Wizards throw in a few more assets? Is there a world in which my boy Kelly Oubre comes to South Beach? I would trade Whiteside for Oubre straight up, and it would be a ripoff. But I just want Oubre back, and the Heat would have two Kellys. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the NBA. That would be incredible.
They have tension, though. Do we really want – look, I know, yes, Hassan and Kelly Olynyk were able to squash their beef. Can Kelly Oubre and Kelly Olynyk squash their
hashtag culture. Just I want Spoelstra to get in, and I think they could squash it. I think they could squash it.
Hashtag two Kelly's too many, I think. That's, you know.
Two Kelly's too many. You know, so we'll see. But I think I'm with you. If I were a betting person, and if I was using mybookie.ag and this was a prop bet, I would bet against Tyler or Whiteside being dealt at the deadline. But hey, maybe Riley's listening and he's heard my New Orleans Pelicans pitch and he's taking notes. You never know. As far as building around Richardson, Bam, and Justice, I agree with this. Look, I've called this the hashtag triumvirate. That's the trio right there. Richardson, Bam, and Justice. If only because they are so good potentially defensively. And I think you can sort of build around that. And Josh Richardson, we'll talk about his night later on, but he's got so much growth that is still there, just unexpectedly when he was a prospect. We didn't think that he could get this good, and there still seems to be room between where he's at now and what his ceiling might be. Winslow, you and I are still believers in to some degree. Bam's been awesome all season, even though he struggled in this game against Houston. Mm-hmm. But look,
as far as those other players that Ming lists there, you know, James Johnson, he had another rough night. He struggled there in the closing minutes. He had some nice defense occasionally. He had a couple of nice shots. What did he finish with tonight? Let's see. James Johnson finished with just 9 points on 4 of 12 shooting. That's pretty rough. 1 of 5 from 3-point range. Not a good night for James. You know, he's got value, but I think at the deal that they offered and that he took over the summer, he seems very, very immovable. We've talked about Utah.
Utah sniffed around. Do you think that's an option? Like, they sniffed around with him in free agency. Do you think that they'd flip one of their expirings that are otherwise useless for James Johnson and take on that money?
I don't know that they see themselves as that kind of a legitimate playoff contender this season where they'd need a guy like that. He makes a lot of sense. He fits their culture pretty well. I think he would fit in really nicely there as a veteran presence, another guy who's going to have everybody's back, and he'll be a strong player, I think, for them in their playoff push. But I don't see it, to be honest with you. Again, I think these contract situations just make all these players unattainable, to be honest with you. Deion, I've got to bring up Deion here, not just because we love Deion the way we do, but, you know, I don't know that we ever got a real season of Deion Waiters. I think there were problems there, perhaps with his weight, maybe with his attitude, who knows, but he was certainly not healthy for most of the season, and that certainly impacted his play. I don't know that we can really ascertain whether or not this was the true Waiters experience. So I'm kind of hesitant to include him in a trade. Again, I don't think anybody wants Deion Waiters at this point. He's not going to play this season. I can't see why anybody would want to make that long-term investment. I'm hoping he'll come back next season and, again, be able to contribute at a high level. So we'll see how that goes out.
Yeah, I mean, latest word is that he was not even going to be able to participate in training camp, and he might not even play until late November, which would be a month into the regular season. So if that's the case, yeah, I mean, and that would be – that, I mean, nobody's trading for Deion Waiters at this point. Just
what about right before we move on? Yeah, sorry. I was going to bring up that Riley tried a pride issue that Marvin brings up.
I think he's Riley's working the phones, but I think you nailed it. I mean, it's just hard with the contracts that have been assigned to these players, you know. And so I just, right before we move on, I just want to ask, this is our last time we're going to be talking before the deadline actually happens here. Do the Heat make a trade, any kind of trade, any sort of move, margins or otherwise?
I'd have to say no. I just don't see it happening, to be honest with you.
I think they make something happen. I don't know what it is, but I think something just happens. I think they have to in order to, in one point, save face. And I think there's some major needs that, I don't know, maybe they could fill, get involved in some sort of deal.
I wish our listeners could make a wager for us or something like that. You know, that if I wind up, I don't know. We'll let our listeners decide if anybody wants to make that kind of a decision.
We'll talk about Josh Richardson's career night next, but first, a quick reminder to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, as well as on Spotify. That's my new favorite way to listen to podcasts.
Subscribing is the best way to support the show, or you could also go to our Patreon page. Another great way to support the show is to leave us a review on iTunes. We really depend on these things. Other people will depend on these in order to find out that the podcast exists. It increases our ranking and helps other Heat fans discover the show.
Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Okay. It's spotlight player time. Who you got, David?
Well, it seems kind of empty, to be honest with you, but I've got to go with Josh Richardson, setting a career high with 30 points after setting one earlier this season with 28. Finished on 7 of 9 shooting from three-point range, 11 of 20 overall. Just only one free throw. And as much as we may not want to see it or accept it, and it may not fit into the Heat culture or the Heat way of doing things, a guy like James Harden and other players throughout the league really show that kind of disparity. Miami is just not a team that gets to the free throw line a lot. And a guy like Josh Richardson had a really, really strong game, also contributed 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, his usual solid defense. He did his best to kind of contain guys like Paul and Harden, but unfortunately both those players are superstars and future Hall of Famers for a reason. And again, the disparity at the free throw line is pretty telling, and it's going to be the next step in his evolution. A strong showing, though. I mean, you've got to hang your hat on that, you know, despite Wayne Ellington's absence, Josh Richardson recognized that there was a need for a really strong game from him. He was feeling it. 7 of 9 three-point shooting. That's elite level. I think that's his best shooting performance of his career by far. But he seemed confident, and that was one of the things that we had talked about in the offseason, whether or not he'd be able to be confident from long range. He certainly displayed that tonight. Really, really strong game from him. But, you know, a strong game with the caveat knowing that he needs to get better.
Well, I think you nailed it there. I mean, right, 30 points, career high for him. Awesome that he's eclipsed that 30-point total for the first time in his career. That's going to be that's a great notch to have on his belt there. But there was a point when you're talking about your the free throw disparity here in the second half where he came off of a pick and drove to the basket, sort of, like, and then just sort of pulled up from the mid-range for no discernible reason. There was nobody on him. Maybe it was a predetermined pull-up that he had. Maybe he was just feeling it, but he missed the shot. And there was plenty of room for him to sort of keep going there. And I don't – not to just pick apart Richardson's game, because he was the reason that Miami was in this game, period, end of story. Like, otherwise it's a blowout, right? Yeah. So but those are the sort of things. Like, I said earlier, you know, there is – you can see where he's at now. And there's room between that and what his ceiling might be. Those are the little things. Now, if he can start getting to the line a little bit more and start getting some points in that way, then maybe he becomes a superstar player. Who knows? But those are the sort of things that he needs to do. But overall, awesome night for Josh Richardson. I had Hassan Whiteside as my spotlight player. 16 points on 16 shots, 17 rebounds, and he was a +3 in 33 minutes. Most importantly, probably for Whiteside, ended up closing the game for the Heat. And I thought the reason was because he did a really good job defending Houston's pick and roll. I mean, throughout that first half, the Rockets torched Miami's defense just with simple pick and rolls, because it's so hard to stay in front of James Harden and Chris Paul. And they were just picking their spots, picking the guys they wanted to get involved. They were destroying James Johnson a lot early in the game in pick and rolls. Bam Adebayo, who I talked about earlier, just couldn't keep up with Paul or Harden. But Whiteside, you know, with his size and just ability to sort of corral guards in the paint, he was a conservative in the pick and roll, didn't play up on him, right. And it was effective. And I thought Whiteside did a really nice job, and it made sense. You know, offensively, there was a period in the first half where he was taking advantage of just his size. And compared to somebody even like Clint Capella, he is just bigger and more effective offensively than Capella is. And I thought that was a distinct advantage, the only advantage really that the Heat had in this game. And Whiteside played well. He started with a negative plus minus and worked his way back into a positive plus minus. And I thought it was a good game for him.
Capella's a load. You know, he only finished with 13 points. So I think, you know, it was efficient 6 of 8 shooting, but Whiteside did a pretty good job of limiting those pick and roll situations and the dives to the rim. So that's pretty impressive. I also like the fact that Whiteside was willing to step out in a guy like Chris Paul. A fantastic piece, I think, came out last week from our friend Scott Rafferty. I want to say it was for the Sporting News, although it may have been for the Step Back. But either way, he broke down how Chris Paul is so effective using his jab step to kind of create a little bit of space there and to pull back for that three-point shot. And he tried it a couple of times on Whiteside. Both times, I think, those shots rimmed out. So Whiteside did a pretty good job of harassing a future Hall of Famer in Paul. So that's all you can really hope for.
Shout out to Goran Dragic, 30 points on 11 of 17 shooting. Really efficient. He had 6 assists to only 1 turnover in the game. Just a really strong game from Dragic.
Are these the only 30-point performances of the season? I'm struggling to recall. I think Goran may have had another one.
Goran had one other one, but other than this is his second and Josh Richardson's first of his career, and obviously
two 30-point performances on one night, and unfortunately it's still not enough to beat the Rockets.
But you know what? They had 88 shots compared to 74 for Houston. I mean, yeah. And the free throw disparity is what the difference is there, right? Yeah. But I think a lot of these numbers just get inflated when you play Houston. So I wouldn't read too much into it. But for Richardson, I think it's a really good just kind of milestone to hit. To have your first 30-point game is only going to do more for his confidence. And I think that's the takeaway here if you're going to look at anything.
Good point.
All right. Well, we will be back tomorrow with our reaction to everything that happens at the NBA trade deadline. But that's all we have for today. Thank you to mybookie.ag, your hookup for all of your sports betting needs. Go to mybookie.ag and use that promo code LockedOnNBA to get a bonus on top of your first deposit. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.